Chapter 7, Investing for Retirement. The bottom line, it's never too late or too early to plan for the life you will live after you retire. There are two aspects to retirement planning, before you retire and after you retire, or pre- and post-retirement planning. If you are a potential retiree, there are several lifestyle decisions that you will want to make as part of your planning process. If you are an actual retiree, you need to consider what effect the choices you have made for your retired life will have on your portfolio. And while no decision should be entered into hastily, you'll need to keep an open mind about a number of issues that you may have thought were set in stone. Pre-retirement planning. If you are still working, it's time to think about what you want your life to be like when you're retired. Really think about it. Look at retired people around you and decide whether you'd like to live like any of them. Choose your heroes. If you don't find any, create your own. Define the life you want. An example, let's say that you're 45 and want to retire at 65. That's 20 years. According to statistics, you should live to about age 85. But let's say that people in your family tend to live longer. We'll make your life expectancy 90. That means we're trying to plan for 25 years of retirement from age 65 to 90. Let's say that you currently make $30,000 per year. When you retire, your clothing and commuting expenses will decrease. But remember, your insurance, health care, and travel expenses will probably increase. The general estimate is that you'll need around 80% of your pre-retirement income to maintain your standard of living after you stop working. Let's make a more conservative assumption and say that you'll need 90%. That works out to $27,000. You already have $50,000 in your company's 401k and another $25,000 in your traditional IRA. In addition, you've saved $10,000 in a money market account at the bank. You regularly put 10% of your pay into the 401k. But you've made your IRA contribution only sporadically. This gives us what we need, a goal that defines your needs in terms of the following. Time, how long you have to achieve it. Duration, how long you need the income. Amount, how much you need. Now that the goal is set, let's look at the rest of the information in this example. Time. First, the clock or the calendar is still your friend. With 20 more years to work, you will want to consider being more aggressive with your investments. Life expectancy. Second, you're planning to live a long time in retirement. This means that you're aiming to accumulate an even larger nest egg to pay for that long retirement. Retirement budget. Third, work out a budget for yourself, both a current budget and a projected retirement budget. Put everything in it, haircuts, manicures, restaurant, meals, movies, and all those trips to Starbucks. All these little expenses add up quickly. Figure out exactly where your money is going now and try to determine where it will probably go when you stop working. This will help you determine how much income you'll need when you retire. If you have some expensive goals, such as travel, be sure to include that in your budget. Size of your nest egg. The next step is to figure out what size nest egg you need to pay that income for as long as you want it. In this case, you're looking for a $73,000 annual income to be paid for the 25 years that you expect to be retired. Using a very conservative 4% rate of return, you'll need about $1,200,000. That's more money than you ever planned on putting together. How to get there? But before you say that this is impossible, let's look at exactly how you can get there. You've already accumulated $75,000 in a 401k and IRA, and it has 20 more years to grow before you need it. Currently, you're contributing to the 401k plan at work, and that's great. The four retirement buckets. Another way to look at how you can save and invest for retirement is to look at the types of dollars you can use. Always try to go from the most efficient to the least efficient type. Four types of money can be used for this purpose. Pre-tax matched money, pre-tax unmatched money, after-tax tax-deferred money, and taxable money. Think of these money types as buckets that should be filled in sequence. Each bucket has a limit on how much you can put into it. So put everything that you can into bucket number one before you put anything into bucket number two, and so on. The first bucket. Bucket number one is pre-tax match money. Here, you get three benefits: pre-tax contributions, matching money from your employer, and tax deferral on all your investment earnings. First, your contribution is made before federal and state income taxes. Second, because you put your own money in, your employer will give you free money to go with your own contribution. Whether you get to keep this employer contribution when you quit this job will depend on whether you are vested. Third, you get to realize all the investment gains you want, and you pay no tax at that time. All the taxes are put off until you withdraw from these accounts. A word about vesting. You always get to keep your own contributions to the plan, plus what that money has grown to. Once you're vested, you get to keep the company's contributions too. Each 401k plan has different rules about when an employee becomes vested. The schedule will be either cliff or graded. With a cliff vesting schedule, there's one length of time, and once you've been employed with the company for that long, you're vested. For instance, with a 3-year cliff vesting schedule, once you have 3 years of time in service with your employee, you are fully vested. If you quit with 2 years, you become progressively more vested each year. For example, with a 4-year vesting schedule, you become 25% vested each year. After 4 years, you are fully vested. So before you decide to take a new job, be aware of what you may give up in unvested benefits. And if you're close to meeting the vesting requirement, consider sticking it out until you do. It could make a big difference. Second bucket. Bucket number two is pre-tax unmatched money. This means that you still get the tax deduction, but no one gives you any free money to go along with it. Plus, you get tax-deferred growth. In other words, your employer does not match. Depending on your adjusted gross income, it may be your traditional IRA contribution as well. Third bucket. Bucket number three is after-tax, tax-deferred money. Here, you don't get a tax deduction, but you do get to have your money grow, and you don't have to pay taxes on those earnings as you go along. You pay income tax on these funds only when you withdraw from the account. And with the Roth IRA, it works much like a traditional IRA, with a couple of notable exceptions. First, to be eligible for a Roth, your adjusted gross income must be under $95,000 as a single taxpayer, or below $150,000 as a married taxpayer filing jointly. Second, there is no possibility of deducting your $3,000 annual contribution. Roth contributions are by definition after-tax money. However, unlike traditional IRAs, the Roth IRA has no minimum required distribution, and when you withdraw from a Roth IRA, you are not taxed on the withdrawal. The fourth bucket is taxable investments. This category is usually the one that most people think of first when they think of investing, and it does represent some important assets that you will gather over the course of your life, including your home, your rainy day money market account, your company's employee stock purchase plan shares, and your qualified or incentive stock options.